you, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder. It's the day we look forward to all week. It's Friday.
I'm so with you.
Yeah, this is great. A little bit snowy in the city and in some of the suburbs. I know some people aren't experiencing any snow at all and have no idea what we're talking about, but we've gotten quite a bit of snow over the last hour, hour and a half. It's really pretty.
I got to admit, I came in harumphing about it.
Just a little.
Because I was driving in LaGrange. Nothing was on the ground. And then as I got closer to the city and the lake effect snow, it was like, oh boy. But it is pretty.
Which two little holiday elves cheered you up when you were complaining about
you
the
and
snow?
Jasmine?
Yeah. Well, and Steve Bertrand. He jumped in, too. He was happy to see the snow.
I guess he was. It is pretty. We always enjoy the first snow. But you know what ruins it? All the slushy gray stuff in the street. Doesn't that ruin it for you a little bit?
Yeah. It always looks at its best when it has freshly fallen and you don't see any gray. You don't see any yellow. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? but it has a snow globe effect. And we've already seen our first fall of the year. And by fall, I don't mean the season fall, but the first person to take a tumble. You missed it.
I did.
Jasmine and I saw it. There's a spot right outside the studio here that over the last couple of years, we've seen a dozen people fall on. I don't know what's going on that one particular spot. Now, today it was a guy who missed it by about 5 yards, but boy, what a fall.
I don't know what causes it, but we should warn listeners who are ever planning on walking by the Allstate Showcase studio. It's not on Michigan Avenue. It's right near the Walk of Fame, actually.
Right.
I think it's Bertrand's star.
Yeah, I think Steve does something to his star to make it slick.
We all have our skills.
He's so busy polishing it that it's very slippery under the snow.
Got to stand out.
But every year it's that same spot, and I went and told the building manager, I'm like, you got to put like a little sawhorse, do they still call them that? A little, you know, slippery when wet sign or...
I see a lot of people now have this little orangey yellow, it's shaped like a man.
A kid!
Yeah,
it's shaped not a
like
man,
a construction
it's a kid.
so anytime there's any peril to be had on a street or a sidewalk, I see that little, construction boy. I don't know who he is. I don't know what he does, but
he's orange.
You notice him.
Construction boy.
Yeah. So that's a very, very dangerous area. So people in and around Chicago, please be careful. It's a little slick. Okay. Let us start out with some unpleasantness. Louis C.K., who I have to be honest with you, I have admired tremendously over the years. Really one of the most innovative comics to come around in the last generation. Is in all kinds of trouble. Yesterday, as we were doing the show, right about noon, we were ready to go upstairs to do the bonus hour, and the allegations were coming online about Louis C.K. and what he had done.
Well, they had canceled his premiere of his new movie, on the wind of an announcement that was going to be made.
Right.
And they did it just in case it was bad news, and as we figured out...
We had a had an inkling that if there's some preliminary trouble like this, it's going to lead to bad news, and it is bad news for all parties involved. As of now, 5 women have come forward and said that over the years, Louis C.K. has done and suggested some pretty awful things that they didn't want any part of. But his name, you know, is added to a list now that every single day another name or two come out. And it's devastating for everybody. If you're a fan of his work, I feel the same way I felt with Bill Cosby, where for years and years and years, I absolutely idolized this guy. And it's hard to stop, but you can't idolize somebody who has made people that uncomfortable.
No, as I said yesterday, it's a shame because Kevin Spacey is a really fantastic actor.
Yep.
He really is.
Yep.
And Louis C.K., I was very late to jump on the Louis C.K. bandwagon. He didn't appeal to me at first. I'm not, you know me, I'm not a prude in any way, shape, or form, but it was pushing it too much for
me. No, I understand. I think a lot of people would share that idea of him.
And then on SNL, he did a really good job. There were a couple sketches where he pushed it a little bit, but it's like, wow, he's pretty funny. And after that appearance, when I guess he became more mainstream, that's when I started watching his stuff, and it's like I became a fan late in the party.
Years ago, so this would be 2010, either 2009 or 2010, I was working at WLS. He came on the show. He was on the show, and I almost didn't want to meet him because... He wasn't a household name yet. Some people knew him, some people didn't. And I was afraid to meet him because I had heard that sometimes he's not the nicest guy in the world, Well, he came on the show and he was so nice. He was so incredibly nice. I liked him when he walked in. When he left, I loved him. I thought, oh, man, not only is he really funny, but he's a really good guy. He has a great sense of humor.
Guess again.
Guess again. See, that's what's so hard is our emotions aren't just a switch. You know, I've honestly liked him for almost a decade now. I've enjoyed his work. I admire what he does on stage. But then when you do something, when you're that horrible off stage, trying to find some kind of balance in your head, you can't. There's no way you can justify it, you know. And like I said, he's on this list where every day a name or two comes down, like Dustin Hoffman the other day, right? You say to yourself, Dustin Hoffman, come on, he's one of our greatest actors ever. Please, not Dustin Hoffman. And every day, to some extent, yesterday Robert Knepper's name also came up, and I know a lot of people won't know
who
he is.
I don't know who that is.
If you watched Prison Break, he was on Prison Break. He was one of the stars of Prison Break, and he played a really bad guy. So when I read this story about Robert Knepper and what he had, and again, we have to keep saying allegedly because nothing's been proved in most of these cases. But I said to myself, he played this horrible, horrible human being on Prison Break, and yet here I am shocked that he would do something horrible in real life. Because you go, they're actors. They're just, it's all make believe. It's all pretend.
Call me naive, which I don't like to think I am, but I don't, I have to choose my words carefully. I don't understand when you enjoy your own company. Don't you usually do that in private?
I would say that more times than not, that is the case.
Because that's what
but his particular thrill, Louis C.K.'s thrill, was not being by himself during this.
And
but
is that
show and tell?
I hate to say what's normal and what isn't, but is that a common thing? I don't think it is.
I don't think it is. I don't think it is.
Here, take a picture on your iPhone and go look at it when you're alone. I don't.
But if he had, all right, this is because I thought about this a lot yesterday. So his crime is that he perpetrated this with women around that didn't want to be a part of this. If he found somebody who wanted to be a part of this, it's no harm, no foul. You meet somebody, you say, hey, I'm into something that's a little offbeat. Here's what it is. What do you think?
Don't say offbeat.
And they go, yeah, I'll sit down for that.
That's a weird pickup line if you want to know the truth.
Right.
I kind of like to find your interests before seeing your interests.
My advice is don't open with that.
Oh,
you might want to, like, at some point, geez, as the evening progresses, things are going well, go, here's an idea. You know, we could go see a movie or have dinner, but let me throw this out for discussion. So if you find somebody that is also on board with it, nobody talks about it. There's no problem. But the fact that he was doing this with women there that didn't want to be there.
Did they walk out? Because that's what I'm confused about.
If you read the stories, they vary.
Yeah,
like,
I did.
There's two women, two comedians who are from Chicago, and their story is he called them up to the room. They were at a comedy festival.
Would you mind?
And he said essentially that. He said, here's what I'm going to do. Is that okay?
And they said, no, I'm good.
They thought he was joking.
Who would think he was serious?
Do that, and then he did.
Seriously,
that.
You know him; he's a comic.
Right.
I would never think in a million years that was serious.
Right.
Like, yeah, okay, buddy, whatever.
Right. You'd go,
what?
Well, this is a guy who's just still having fun. He's just joking around. Uh oh, no, he's not. No, he's not. So, all right. So the aftermath is this. You and I talked about this part yesterday. Stephen Colbert, he was supposed to be on Stephen Colbert's show last night to promote a movie that he's got coming out. That was...
No,
tonight.
He doesn't anymore.
No, right. That
but
is
it was
now...
supposed to be Friday night, and William H. Macy has replaced him. So he was supposed to appear tonight on Stephen Colbert.
I think it was last night because Colbert mentioned yesterday that they were supposed to have a visit from Louis C.K., but that Louis himself canceled the visit.
That's not... I don't know that that's true.
I think it was his show. Now... keep this in mind. Colbert's show now twice within a week span has lost a guest because of this sort of thing. Jeremy Piven was scheduled to be on earlier, and that had to be changed because Jeremy Piven is also going through similar allegations.
Which he denies.
Now, Louis C.K. has not denied this. Not only has he not denied it, but there's several stories talking about how he's tried to make good with several of these women over the years. He has tried to say, hey, years ago something had happened. In one of the stories, Louis's version of it is far more graphic than the woman's version of it. And she said that bothered me even more, is that he didn't even remember what happened. He said, hey, I remember when this happened and this happened. And she walked away going, wow, that wasn't with me. He did some bad things with me, but his story was even worse than what happened.
I was telling you off the air, I mean, how do people who continue to do this, it's not like a one-time thing, how do you sleep at night knowing that you've done this type of thing to someone and made someone terribly uncomfortable? And then in the back of your mind, you've got to know that this is going to come out someday. Don't you?
I think for a lot of them, it's almost like I've gotten through so many years where nobody has said anything about it. Maybe not that all is forgiven, but maybe all is forgotten, which is wrong, because obviously these things have not been forgotten. But it hasn't been until the last couple of weeks that all of a sudden people are coming out saying, hey, this is what happened to me. This is what happened. This is who did it.
I think you're applying your rationale to someone else's, and you can't understand what the,
yeah, there's something to that.
The desire or drive might be to do that.
I mean,
it might not be all that easily stopped.
Right.
I mean, even in the face of reason, you know, this is a bad idea, it's going to cost me dearly, that might not always be enough.
Well, it's really interesting. Louis C.K.'s take on this is, because he apologized to a couple of the women that have come forward. And he said that back then when he did this, he had a bad way of judging people. He wasn't good at reading people and judging people, which is his way of saying, I thought you were interested.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I thought you were interested, but it turns out you weren't. But at the time, I couldn't really decipher your level of interest. You know,
get to, you know, talk a little bit first, maybe have a, you know, a cup of coffee or something before you ask that.
So I don't know if you guys heard in the news, though, the film release has been canceled.
Yes.
OK. Yes.
I love you, Daddy.
Yeah. That has been put on the shelf. And if you read what the movie's about, they cite several scenes in there that are kind of foreshadowing as to what's going on with him right now.
He has a daughter who's very young, who is interested in a 60-some-year-old man, and that's kind of what it entails. And there's some very pushing-the-envelope topics in there.
Yeah.
We need to take a break, and then we have some texts and calls, 312-981-7200. It's Bill, it's Wendy, it's 720 WGN.
It's Bill F., and it's Wendy Snyder. A quick warning to our more sensitive listeners.
All right, I'll leave.
This is a little, a little touchy. There, I said it. Louis C.K. in all kinds of trouble. He's on the cover of the Sun-Times today. He finds himself being accused by five different women of sexual misconduct. Some of the fallout is HBO just announced earlier today that they are they're not going to show his programming, his HBO specials, his TV show. Used to be able to get it on HBO on demand. Not anymore. They don't want that right now.
So I'm a big fan of the show Better Things.
Oh my God, I love that show with Pamela Adlon. He produces it.
Yeah.
I just said to Bill, does that mean anything with his name on it?
You can't watch it. No, can watch.
They haven't said anything about that not being in production or showable at this point, have they, Steve?
I have not. No. Seen anything like that? I'm sorry.
He was scheduled to be on Colbert, and they have been friends forever. You know,
like close friends.
Yeah, I told you about this documentary I watched a few weeks ago called "Too Funny to Fail," which is about Dana Carvey when he left Saturday Night Live. Had a sitcom, well, not a sitcom, a variety show, and Louis C.K., who was at the time very young, like 28 or 29 years old, was the head writer on the show, and it was Stephen Colbert's first national exposure on the show. And Steve Carell as well on Dana Carvey's show.
Head writer, exposure, stop it.
It's everywhere. So they have been very close friends since then. He has been a frequent guest on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. And Stephen Colbert last night had to address it and say he was scheduled to be on this week and we can't have him on this week, you know?
And they're friends.
They are friends.
If you don't want to hurt people, that's your first thing, not to do something like this. But how can you live with yourself knowing you've disappointed the people who love you the most?
Right.
I just don't understand it.
Right. So are you going through, here's what I'm going through. I want to feel sorry for these guys.
I don't.
I want to say to myself, if I'm Louis C.K. and he's carved out this career for himself, will we ever see him on stage again? Will things ever be normal again? Same with Kevin Spacey. Same with all these guys.
I really don't.
But that's the other part of it, is you say to yourself, but if they have caused people this much harm, then I guess they don't deserve to be there.
But now getting back to Better Things, he, I think, is a producer on that.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
He's executive producer on several shows.
But that doesn't have anything to do with Pamela Adlon. And
right.
then I'm like, you know, I don't know if I'm going to give up watching it, although that's probably going to be pulled, too.
It yeah. just was renewed for a third season. And that was in the news like 2 weeks ago.
Oh,
Bill, you love Baskets.
Yes.
What? What does he have to do with that?
He's one of the creators of Baskets.
See, and that's not fun to Zach Galifianakis.
Right.
It isn't. And
no,
Louis Anderson.
I know.
You're going to have to start doing jigsaw puzzles, Wendy. Everything's gone.
I know.
But that's how...
Can't you just take him off the producing?
Well, that's what... I'm going to throw out a name that some people will know, but most people will not. There's a lady who's a comedian, and her name is Tig Notaro. And she has a television show that he is the executive producer of. And
that
she said a couple months ago, she said a few months ago, before anyone knew there were any kind of allegations, by the way, I want Louis' name off my show. I don't think it's appropriate to have his name on the show. And everyone's like, wait, why?
I remember this.
And then she started to talk about it a little bit. I told you this yesterday. That was a story I found online and I went, uh-oh, this is going to be bad. And it vanished. You couldn't find it anymore. You know,
and then it exploded.
Yeah.
And who's next? I mean, we were talking about this yesterday. Who's next to surprise you all?
Yeah, I know.
Keep it in your pants.
Can we quote you on that?
Yes.
Is that quotable? All right. You heard it from Wendy. We'll take a quick break. Steve has the news, and then there's a bunch more coming. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Happy Friday. A lovely winter wonderland on this first snow of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You remember O.J. Simpson, don't you? Good old number 32.
Running back for the Buffalo Bills.
Orenthal James Simpson.
Yes, I remember him.
He was released from prison in October and got no one talked about
it's
that, really.
It's really funny because for a long time, our society, anything O.J. related, we perked up. Oh, what's going on with OJ? And this went on with almost no notice whatsoever. I mean, it was mentioned, certainly, but not a lot of fanfare.
And previous to it happening, people were saying, do you realize OJ Simpson may be released in October?
Yeah.
It seemed like there was a lot of hoopla before he was released, and no one's really talked about him.
Actually, he's been co-hosting with Rachel Ray, but no one's watching that either.
I didn't know that, Steve. Right.
Me started on Rachel Ray, the poor thing.
The poor thing.
Wendy's not a fan of Rachel.
I want to like her.
But what's holding you back?
If I saw her not on TV, I'd probably get along with her really well.
But on TV,
she just.
Well, that's why they threw OJ in. It's more fun this way.
I would watch it if OJ was on. Yeah. I would love to see the two of them interact.
Right.
She needs to dress better. She's
Here's
on national
lemons, OJ.
Television.
Could you cut these up? Oh, you know what? I'll take care of the lemons.
No, you can't say that.
I can say that.
No, you cannot say that. You have to go buy her spatulas and watch her show.
No. I dress very sloppily,
Wendy.
And I don't curl my hair every day, but yeah. I'm on the radio, and until these stupid video cameras that are in here, it was nice not to be seen.
She's up to her elbows in breadcrumbs and ground beef.
For you. She does this for you.
But
to entertain you.
It's national television. You have to get a little bit dressed up. It just drives me nuts.
We need to have a sit down with her. You can talk to her. You can tell her.
I would
things.
Love her. I think we'd get along. Honestly,
I think you would.
So if she just was go to the pantsuits, or what would you like?
No, she need. I mean,
what would you put
I
her
see
in?
A little of myself in her. Like you know, boy, she needs her hair done. And then I look in the mirror. I'm like, crap. So do I. I need a nice styling. She's not very dressed up. I look down.
Maybe that's why she's popular because
she's one of us.
People see themselves in
right.
her.
Yummo. I guess.
Yummo.
That's what she says.
She's changed the way we say extra virgin olive oil.
Evo. Vu. Vo.
I thought Yummo was one of the Marx Brothers.
All right. Well, back to OJ, who is not co-hosting with Rachel
what?
Ray or with Kelly Ripa.
Oh, all right.
But wow.
Yeah, that would be all right, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That'd be fun to watch.
But it seemed like nobody talked about his release.
Yeah,
and,
I know.
You know, so now word comes out that, well, this is through the words of O.J. Simpson's attorney. He says the former football star has been banned from the Cosmopolitan Hotel Casino in Las Vegas.
Why?
Attorney Malcolm Laverne.
Hello, Laverne.
On Thursday told the Associated... I love working with you. Can I just say that? I really, truly
I
do.
I bet we win a Marconi Award for that.
We should.
I bet we do.
Attorney Malcolm Laverne
just for Steve? Should I do it for Steve? No.
One more time.
Hello, Laverne.
On Thursday, told the Associated Press that Simpson received a trespass notice from the hotel on Wednesday. The attorney also then went on to deny that Simpson was intoxicated or belligerent while at the Las Vegas Strip property.
Oh.
Now, Laverne says...
through herself or through Boo Boo Kitty? Her spokesperson, Boo Boo Kitty, says...
I don't know. Says Simpson was not given a reason for the ban. He says, the attorney, Laverne, he says Simpson... I can't work with you.
Come on.
I can't even look at you.
Come on.
He says Simpson contacted his parole officer Thursday and underwent drug and alcohol tests, which were negative.
Oh.
So, I mean, you got to realize he's probably just really excited to be out.
Come on. Don't go to a casino.
Can't he? I know.
He got in trouble in the casinos,
right?
I mean, in, I wouldn't even
In a room above the casinos.
He should probably stay away from Las Vegas, if not the entire state of Nevada.
Well, that's where...
should stay away from warm climes.
Right. Go someplace brisk. Come to Chicago, OJ.
Manitoba.
Stay at Wendy's house. Manitoba's nice.
Simpson was paroled from a Nevada prison last month after serving 9 years for armed robbery and assault with a weapon in an ill-fated bid to retrieve memorabilia.
Yes.
He is living in a Las Vegas gated community. It's funny. He lived in a gated community before.
A different gated community.
But I guess smaller my question
gates.
Is...
Well, you get used to it, Bill.
And I think you do.
And then you need it.
Right. You start to you enjoy it after a while, I guess.
Where's the gate?
Right.
Now, the hotel, in a statement, says it does not comment on its guests, but they did issue a trespass notice.
Oh.
But now, all right, he's on parole, right?
He is on parole.
So can you not imbibe in alcoholic beverages or gamble? I don't know what the parole hearing are. Is every case different?
Steve, do you know? I don't know. I
think you can drink.
I think you're allowed to drink.
Right.
The thing they always stress in movies and TV shows is that you're not supposed to associate with people who are also
ne'er-do-wells.
Yeah. They always tell you, stay away from people who could potentially get you back here. I don't know how ironclad that is in writing.
Parolees can't hang out with parolees?
I think they frown on it. I think.
Really?
Yeah, because then your chance of coming back are increased, right?
OJ will never do anything again because he is the luckiest guy in the world to be out right now.
I think you might have said that about 15 years ago.
Yeah.
This was... what he did was goofy. They just used this to get him in prison.
The second time.
Going into a room to retrieve memorabilia that was allegedly his.
Well, people have said forever they had such tight eyes on him because they were just waiting for something to happen. And in a weird way, I'm okay with that. You know?
Yeah.
Because it kind of failed miserably the first time. So maybe this was retribution. They kept them on a short leash.
Is the Cosmopolitan Hotel and Casino in Vegas issuing a no trespass notice because of how people feel about OJ? Like, they don't want customers to come in and say, oh my God, is that OJ Simpson sitting at the bar?
Yeah.
Because if he wasn't intoxicated, can you just issue a statement saying don't come back?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess, but
you would think he'd be bad for business, wouldn't you?
No,
he
still has a ton
of fans.
There's a
charm there somehow. Yeah, I guess so.
So, but isn't Cosmopolitan, they're the ones with the real sexy ads.
Yes.
They should put him in one of those ads.
So the elevator doors open and there's OJ with a giant smile.
Right.
Yeah, that's good for business.
Secretive smile, kind of a concealing
right.
smile.
I know something you don't know.
Well, turns out you do.
Listen, if he's living in Vegas, there's a good chance he's going to go to some of the places.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Just curious. People, because the stories that came out yesterday, OJ drunk and kicked out of a bar, but mm-hmm. Well, according to his attorney, Malcolm Laverne.
Hello, Laverne.
He was not drinking or belligerent.
Good.
So...
it's Friday, everybody.
I'm reading a book, Wendy. I was thinking of you last night. It's set in the 30s. And the dad says to his daughter, he goes, say,
They said that in the 30s.
When is the last time, like in our lifetime, that somebody has started a sentence with the word say?
Say, just, honey, go into the mobsters.
Well, it's always the crime dramas or little kids would, like the Little Rascals.
I almost took a picture of it on the page and texted it to you.
You should have.
Say, honey.
See, for years, Steve, I couldn't figure out if people actually talked that way in the 30s or because we know it from movies, if that was just a movie way of talking.
Right.
But I think people legitimately talk that way in the 30s. I really do.
But think about it. Say turned into hey. Hey, what are you talking about? Say, it what just, are you talking
it
about?
It sounds more...
And we're off.
It just sounds more dated and... I can't think of the 30s without people talking that way. And everyone's name was Johnny.
Say Johnny.
Did you talk to Johnny? I saw Johnny. He was out with Johnny.
With that Johnny?
Yeah, that Johnny.
See?
Yeah, see?
Say, Johnny's on the spot.
Yeah, that's the way people talked. Even, like, women and old people and babies, everybody talked like that in the 30s.
Say.
What was the first
goo-goo,
word?
Goo-goo, see? Goo-goo, see? Say. I'm saying goo-goo, see? That's how babies talked.
What would OJ's attorney, Malcolm Laverne, say?
Hello, Laverne, see? All right, there's an ether leak in the studio. We'll get that cleaned up and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, I have to share a personal and embarrassing moment with everyone.
It's both personal and embarrassing?
Yes.
I love this. All right, sure. What is it? What happened?
It's the end of the year. I'm trying to get all my medical appointments in.
So that they're covered on insurance?
Yes.
Is that why?
Yeah. Because I've reached my deductible.
Oh.
So I have a mammogram scheduled for today,
and
I had a lady doctor appointment yesterday. The OBGYN. Normally see my Dr. Kim, and she delivered both my boys, and I've been seeing her for over 18 years because Michael's 18.
Yes.
And Kim was booked solid because it looks like everybody waits till the end of the year
to get
an appointment.
I know that's true.
So they said, would you be interested in seeing the nurse practitioner? And I said, sure. What is a nurse practitioner? And basically, it's a nurse with a master's, so it's...
They can do almost all the same
except
things.
Except surgery.
Right. They stop just short of surgery, yeah.
You knew that?
I did know that, because my lady doctor has also suggested that I see the nurse practitioner when it's busy in the office.
All right, well, I didn't know that, and then I said, well, sure, put me down for the nurse practitioner so I can get in, get out.
And get out, yeah.
I didn't mean it that way. Okay, so I was there, and I didn't have to wait very long. I filled out some of the forms, which frustrates me because you fill out these forms every time. Don't they keep files?
I think they just it gives you something to do while you're there.
You
know,
guess
it's
that's
like having
true.
A rattle, you know? I think the doctors just go, we can't just have her sit there for 45 minutes. Give her forms. That'll eat up half the time.
Yeah, but we all have iPhones now, so I can be doing some serious candy crushing before my appointment.
True. Right.
So I went in to see Karen, and, you know, I don't even know why they give you have to take everything off except for this stupid vest. Mm-hmm. And it's just stupid to me. Like, why either give me a robe or give me something, but it's this little...
It's just a vest?
Yeah,
that's
and it's
it?
Like waist high, and then you... cover up the rest of your body with just this sheet.
Yeah.
This plastic sheet.
Was this a doctor's office or a construction site?
So, can I just say she started by saying this is going to be embarrassing?
Right.
I think she meant for us, Bill.
Oh, maybe for us. Yeah it could
no,
be.
No, here's the embarrassing part. So, you know, you have a nice little consultation beforehand, and mm-hmm. they weigh you and everything, and what are your past history, any medication? No, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, okay, undress, put this vest on, and then cover your legs with this whatever it is, piece of paper, basically.
Is that all it is? Is a piece of paper? Oh.
So she comes back into the room and it's go time and you know, I've had two babies, I know how this works.
Yep.
So but it's still, you know, it's just weird. Mm-hmm. And you know, I don't have a relationship going with Karen because I hadn't known her. I guess she was in the delivery room for my second baby, but I was kind of out of it, so I didn't remember her.
Right.
So as you know, things are she's doing her work and you know, I'm sitting there and all of a sudden Karen says, "Oh my God, you're Wendy Wendy."
Oh.
And I said, yes, I am. And she goes, I thought I recognized your voice. And I said, glad it's the voice you recognize.
Right.
And then I said, you know, well, Karen, it's great to meet you. I like to meet my listeners face to face. A little different today, but she said she listens every day. Oh. She likes Bertrand. She listens to Cochran.
Yeah.
John Williams. So
that's not. Well, you seem like you're in good hands then. That's good. That's not embarrassing.
I get it.
No, I mean that. That you want somebody who. What if she was not a fan of yours?
Because it's okay going to a dentist who listens, but an OBGYN is a little different.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so.
So, Karen, nice to meet you. Big fan.
What did she have you sign for her wall? I'm curious. Was it a picture or what was it?
Was it that paper thing?
She's got all kinds of celebrities up there.
The vest.
Just the celebrity vests.
I should have signed the vest.
Yes.
Well, I'm going back today next for time. The mammogram, so I'll sign a
all
vest
right.
for her.
Please do.
Thanks for listening, Karen.
We'll take a quick break. Steve has the news. Kurt Wagner then stops by. We'll talk about television, and we'll discuss heroes, the best heroes of the year. That's all on today's show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Steve. Did you mention that Kim Gordon is stuck in some heavy-duty traffic?
Well, she's out reporting on the traffic in the snow today. She's on assignment, I think right around Irving Park and the Kennedy.
She'll get in eventually.
Just some hard-hitting investigative work when she arrives.
Yes.
Someone else who's stuck in traffic.
Our friend Kurt Wagner of TVShowPatrol.com, scheduled to be in studio, but he'll make 50 cents less today because he's on the phone instead of live with us. Kurt, what's wrong? Are you stuck?
I am on top of the Mariano's roof at Sheridan Road because traffic was not moving, so I just pulled off. So I can do this by phone, yeah.
You say, wow, that's a spin out.
Yes, it is.
And it's not because of snow. It's because of snow, but it's not because, I don't know, everybody's slow.
Yeah.
Nobody knows how to drive in the snow around here.
That first snowfall of the year, we're notorious. Yeah, it takes a little bit of getting used to.
Like all right. 5 minutes.
Yeah. All right, well, stay up there. Be safe up there.
Yeah, I am.
All right. Kurt, we started the show, Wendy and I started out talking about the sex scandal that is rocking show business. Louis C.K., some heavy allegations against him from 5 different women. How will this affect his career? Does he still have a career?
Maybe not. He's lost several projects. I just saw that this morning Netflix dropped all of his already made stand-up specials that were streaming on the service, like even the old ones. So they just sort of wiped him from the service.
HBO's doing the same thing with his on-demand stuff.
Yeah. And there was a movie he wrote, directed, starred in that now they're talking about will they release it or not? They canceled the world premiere. There's all kinds of things going on with him. FX is where he's had 5 shows in the past 8 years. He's worked there for 8 years. They're looking into it because they've never had allegations of misconduct at their workplace.
All right, so tell me this, Kurt. When Bill Cosby had his situation a couple of years ago, everybody was very, very slow to eliminate his work. You know, you could see the Cosby Show almost any time of the day or night on some channel, and it took months and months and months before the networks privately said, you know what, maybe we got to not show this anymore. With Louis C.K., this happened overnight.
Well, times they are changing, right? I mean, he's not even the first in this latest round. I mean, Ed Westwick has BBC now has canceled. He's been accused of raping 2 women.
And who is this again?
Ed Westwick. He used to star in the.
Is it Gossip Girl?
Yeah, Gossip Girl. That's right.
Yeah.
So he was supposed to do this holiday season special, Ordeal by Innocence, on BBC. They canceled that, and they've taken him out of the series White Gold, which was filming. Like they've sort of suspended him from that, and possibly just will get rid of him.
What about Jeremy Piven's series on CBS? What are they doing with that? Do we know yet?
I haven't heard anything from CBS, but he claims that it's all, you know, false stuff, totally fabricated and everything. But I haven't heard any CBS reaction yet. But even now, a former Mad Men writer is accusing Matthew Weiner of sexual harassment from 2008.
We're not going to hear the end of this for a long time, I have a feeling.
No, this is going to happen a lot. And it's going to be one of the situations. I saw somebody tweeted yesterday that, you know, we're not going to have any male stars or creators left in Hollywood to create those things. because everybody's getting accused.
The other thing that happened yesterday, Kurt, that I don't remember ever happening, we talked about this with Dean Richards to some extent yesterday, is Kevin Spacey had filmed some scenes from a movie that's supposed to be released in December. So now they're quickly going in and they're taking another actor, Christopher Plummer, and having him redo all of Kevin Spacey's scenes. And that movie's coming out. It's scheduled to come out in 5 or 6 weeks. That's acting really fast.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Well, you know, no production company or studio or whatever really wants to have that tainted, you know.
It's box office poison.
It'll, I mean, and that's why, like, this, you know, the streaming services have dumped some stuff and you know, it's all sort of their optics and their success, too, is tied in with all the stuff. But, you know,
when the allegations for Bill Cosby came out, you know, it took a while for the reruns of The Cosby Show to be taken off the air, and he got a lot of his awards taken away. But now it's like there is no room for finding out whether these allegations are true or false. Just when it hits the news, they're done.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
good for it.
Yeah. I mean, some of them I think are, you know, I think maybe people feel, well, that's irrefutable, you know, even though formal cases has been brought against somebody. But like the Louis C.K. thing, I remember there was a Louis episode where it said, like, he was on some talk show or something, and it said Louis. And then it said comedian/masturbator.
Oh, I remember that. I hadn't thought about that, but I remember that.
And you know, it's but there was also some blind item in some online, Jezebel maybe or something, years ago that sort of pointed in that direction and pointed to him, but they never said for sure if it was him. So you know, I do hope that everybody takes a breath and actually proves things first before they ruin somebody's life. But
Kurt, to prove that this can happen to just about anybody, Terry Crews' name is also involved in all this. He was one of the people who says that he was assaulted. If you've ever seen Terry Crews, he's a very, very large, strong guy. You say to yourself, how could somebody pull that off? But his name is involved in this.
Yeah, well, and, you know, that's also the thing. What is sexual assault? And the case with him was on a red carpet, and this high-level Hollywood exec, quote-unquote, supposedly grabbed him in the privates.
Mm-hmm.
That's assault.
Right.
You know? And I'm sure nothing came of it.
But they're changing that now.
And people are still victim blaming, saying, you know, where were these people and why weren't they saying anything years ago? Because a lot of these people were just starting out and didn't want to say anything to ruin their chances of being successful.
Right.
I know that's terrible, but it's also terrible to be in that position of not feeling free to say something.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I mean, and if you think about it, Terry Crews, like you just said, huge guy.
Yeah.
At the time was already established in two careers, right? And
yeah.
And he didn't feel right just punching the dude, which I think I would have done, but you know, the guy was a powerful person, right?
Yeah.
So you don't do that, you know, you remain professional even though he's not remaining professional. So, you know, if you think about it with somebody who's young and up and coming, then you know, if he felt pressure not to do anything, then how would somebody like that feel pressure?
And according to the Daily Mail, Crews said he feared fighting back despite being 6'3 and 240 because he was worried he'd be thrown into jail if all of a sudden he assaulted someone. I decided not to take it further because I didn't want to be ostracized. Par for the course when the predator has power and influence. I let it go, and I understand why many women who had this happen let it go as well. Who's going to believe you? Too many repercussions, he said.
Also yesterday, Robert Knepper, formerly of Prison Break, Steven Seagal, has been accused by a couple of different women, Jenny McCarthy, one of them, of some unusual casting couch sessions. Every day, more and more names keep coming out.
Yeah, but Steven Seagal just made the girls brush his ponytail.
Oh, is that it? How about that? All right, let's do this.
Pull his ponytail.
We'll take a quick break. And then more discussion with Kurt Wagner from TVShowPatrol.com, high atop the Mariano's rooftop on Sheridan Road. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN. Kurt Wagner joins us. You know, Kurt, he's on with us every Friday. He's the head guy over at TVShowPatrol.com. If you like your TV, visit TVShowPatrol.com. Kurt, some horrible news for fans of Tom Selleck's show Magnum P.I. John Hillerman has passed away. What can you tell us about John Hillerman?
Well, he played Jonathan Higgins. Yep.
That's one of the best shows. I'm sorry. Magnum P.I. was an awesome show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that lasted a long time, too.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's about all I can tell you. He lived in Houston. He was 84, and he died Thursday, sadly.
I know I had seen him in other episodic television shows, but it was probably Magnum P.I. that people would know him the best. He was kind of the rich, kind of uptight guy that Magnum worked alongside, right?
Yeah. Didn't he assign him things?
I think so.
Or just work with him somehow?
I think so.
I'm not quite sure how that went.
Yeah. All right, so he's gone. Very, very sad news. Some big news over at Saturday Night Live. This is kind of a milestone. In all the years of Saturday Night Live, less than a dozen African-American women have hosted the show. It's hard to believe, over 500 hosts during the long, long tenure of Saturday Night Live, but less than a dozen African-American women. And this is the first time an African-American woman who was a stand-up comedian has hosted the show ever, right?
Wow, yeah. Tiffany Haddish.
Yeah.
Haddish.
Who?
Haddish.
She was in Girls Trip. Did you ever see the movie Girls Trip?
What?
A couple months ago? It was a gigantic hit. She was one of the stars of that. But she joins Oprah Winfrey, Queen Latifah, Taraji P. Henson, Halle Berry, Kerry Washington, and just a few others, a handful of others who have ever hosted the show, African-American women. You'd think there'd be more.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. I did not even realize that.
As Wendy just pointed out when she said who, once a year, somebody hosts the show that even if you're really up on popular culture, you go, I'm not positive who that is. Very big break for her.
Yeah, it is. And I'm not sure what else. I think she's just mostly been stand-up, right? I don't think she's been in any other series, TV series or anything.
She's very funny. She just played Zanies a couple of months ago, and I heard really good things about her.
She was a series regular on the Carmichael show as well, which was canceled.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at her, and I don't really know
her.
She
was his girlfriend on that, right?
Does it say?
No, she wasn't his girlfriend.
No?
No, that was somebody else. Huh. She might have been his brother's ex, though.
Oh. All right.
Maybe.
All right.
And now that I think about it, that's kind of funny because I would not recognize her because that one was so out there.
Oh, yeah?
But hilarious. Yeah, but hilarious.
And I like that about SNL because sometimes when the hosts are on and I don't know of them, it hips me up a little bit. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the musical guests, mm-hmm. although some probably shouldn't be on the show. Some of them I'm shocked sometimes.
Taylor Swift this week. So you got
I love her.
You got a good one this
week. Plus, she's great, and I'm sure they're going to put her in a bunch of sketches.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. As far as Christmas specials go, the last couple of years, CBS has taken some classic episodes of The Dick Van Dyke Show and of The Lucy Show, and they're doing it again this year, correct? The ratings are always really good when they do this.
Yeah, they are. And this year, the Dick Van Dyke ones are both new, never before colorized.
Not new episodes, just the first time we've seen them in color.
Yeah, newly colorized episodes, yeah. So one of them is My Blonde-Haired Brunette, which was written by series creator Carl Reiner.
Yeah.
And that was from season one. That's where Mary Tyler Moore dyes her hair blonde because she thinks that Rob has fallen out of love with her.
Hmm.
Oh, she was so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Rob.
Yeah.
Well, they went out of their way this year to find two episodes that really showcase... you know what, Kurt? When you did that, an elk just came to our window. I've never seen that happen on Michigan
Avenue.
Because
it's snowing.
Right. It's actually lovely to see him. So they found two episodes that really highlight Mary Tyler Moore, since this is the first Christmas that we have been without Mary Tyler Moore.
Poor thing.
So, yeah.
This is the first Christmas.
Yeah, she just died this past year. So.
And then the other one is a season three episode called October Eve. And that one is... Laura returns a paint, or she has a painting, and someone paints a picture of her, and he paints it in the nude, even though she posed for it fully clothed. And that, Carl Reiner plays.
Yeah, the painter is
I kind of remember that one.
Yeah.
God,
yeah.
I loved that show.
Yeah. It's really strange to see these episodes that you've seen so many times colorized, because in your head, they're just cemented in black and white. And when you see them looking all kind of shiny and almost new, it throws
you. Do you like it? Because I don't like it.
It's a novel thing for a minute or two, but then I find myself wishing it was in black and white. Isn't that crazy? It's like when they used to, Ted Turner used to colorize classic movies.
I didn't like that either.
Hated it. I hated it.
Yeah. The technology is better now, so it doesn't look as strange. Like, the color doesn't sort of fade in and out as much as it used to, but it's still weird to see them in color.
It really is.
It doesn't look like a watercolor just brushed over the black and white. Like
Right.
If they move fast, the color sort of streaks. You know, it almost like moves. Doesn't move with them.
I'm not going to watch until they colorize it and make it cartoon characters.
Like that would be funny.
Cartoon Dick Van Dyke and Mary Tyler Moore.
What would be more entertaining than an animated Mel Cooley?
Oh,
that
my
would be
God.
The best. I would love that. That would be great. And then a bunch of people have sent in text questions for you.
Those are December 22nd, by the way.
Oh, okay. The two Dick Van Dyke episodes and the Lucy episodes. What are some of the text questions, Wendy?
Well, these texts came in even before Kurt was on the line with us. And thanks for letting me get them ready.
Oh, sorry.
Ask Kurt what he thinks of Kevin Probably Saves the World, starring Jason Ritter, son of John Ritter. I love it.
It made Kurt hang up. Oh, there he is.
This is from
the
a texter.
The
texter.
Reader loves it. The texter loves it.
What can you tell us about that? What do you think?
I've only seen one episode, and it was okay, but not okay enough for me to set my VCR to tape it, to record it. So sorry. But I have friends who love it. My friend Amory, who writes about television, loves it.
Ask Kurt Wagner if there will be any new Jesse Stone episodes.
You know what? I am trying to find that out. Somebody emailed me and asked me that question, and I'm trying to find that out, but
and what's Jesse Stone?
It's Tom Selleck, a series of movies he did. He plays Jesse Stone, who's a private eye, I believe.
Oh, much like Magnum PI, huh?
Without the Hawaiian shirt.
They aired on Hallmark, and I emailed Hallmark to answer this reader, but I have not heard back. But it looks like there might be, yes.
And one more, please ask Kurt about 10 Days in the Valley. It's gone and not all episodes aired yet. Thanks. Any news on that, 10 Days in the Valley?
It did not do very well. They might bring it back for a Saturday or Friday night thing, or even burn off the episodes this summer. But it wasn't doing well, so I think they just took it off for a while.
All right. What happens if they have episodes left? What do you mean burn them off? Just put them on like...
In the middle of summer.
In the summer and air the whole whatever they have, 13 episodes, and then just do it then.
Or sometimes they'll put them on demand too, right, Kurt? If they have a bunch they didn't show, they'll just throw them on an on-demand service.
Right. They do that too. Yeah. Somebody also asked about the series Nobodies from Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah.
And that will be back for a second season. I wasn't sure, but I can tell you that now.
That is Kurt Wagner. His website is TVShowPatrol.com. Kurt, thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, thanks for the remote.
Absolutely. Drive safe. Just promise us you'll drive safe. That's all we care
thanks,
about.
Thanks, Kurt.
Bye, Kurt. A quick break, some news, and then we'll discuss heroes, the best heroes of the year. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN. Oh, one second of beaches and I'm out, Wendy. I can't.
Can I give you the definition of the word hero?
Please
according
do.
To Merriam-Webster?
Please do.
A person who is admired or idealized for courage, outstanding achievements, or noble qualities. What makes me sad is you and I will never be a hero.
Never, ever, ever, ever. Every year CNN picks the top 10 heroes of the year. This year, a Chicago recipient, Jennifer Maddox, a member of our very own Chicago Police Department, is on that list. And not just in the top 10, but she could be named the number one hero of the year. I hope she does. She's with us on the line right now. Jennifer, how are you? Congratulations.
Thank you so much. How are you guys?
We're doing well. Proud of you, that's for sure. How long have you been a member of the Chicago Police Department?
I have been a member for 21 years now.
Thank you so much for all you
thank
do.
Thank you so much. So what happened this year that got you on this very prestigious list?
Well, it all started about a year ago. My son, Craig Maddox anonymously didn't tell me, and he wrote a letter to CNN about the work that I do with Future Ties at Parkway Garden Apartments.
And explain what Future Ties is. We read a little about it, but in your words, let the listeners know what that's all about.
So Future Ties is an after-school / summer camp program that was started in 2011 to support the families that reside inside of Parkway. We are a 501c3 not-for-profit organization now that services about 43 students, elementary age kids from kindergarten through sixth grade. And then over the summer, we support about 35 teenagers ages 16 through 18 in a summer mentoring program that we do for them.
And you started to realize that a lot of kids get in trouble because they had nothing else to do. They were bored.
Correct. When I originally started patrolling that beat, which is beat 312, and I was assigned to that area, and we were getting a lot of service calls, in particular with the inside of Parkway Gardens, which is like a three-block radius from like 6336 to 6548 on King Drive. It's a low-income housing complex. So we were getting a lot of service calls for that area, and majority of them involved the youth.
And so you convinced building management to say, hey, can I use the basement to start doing what? What did you do? And boy, great persuasion methods there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at first I really didn't know what I wanted to do, but I know I wanted to do something. So it originally started as like a drop-in center where I would buy snacks and I had some board games and just different activities that I set up that I wanted the kids to come in off the street so it would give them something else to do instead of running through the buildings, running up and down the buildings, and it would give them something that they could do after school. It evolved into an after-school program because some of the young people were coming down to the center with their homework, and they needed, help with and assistance with their homework. So I was trying to figure out how we could not only make it a drop-in center for kids, but also support the kids that needed help with their homework. So we utilize some of the teenagers to get some of their community service hours to come in. We had snacks available for them, and they were helping the young people with their homework, and it just kind of took off from there.
Jennifer, you've been doing this for a little while now. What about the progress? What are you seeing in these kids? How are they changing?
Oh, wow. We currently have a waiting list of students that are trying to get into the program because we have evolved so much that now not only are we doing homework help, but we are also bringing in different other workshops for the kids, life skill workshops and other activities. We take them out on field trips and move them around the city so that they can be exposed and have experiences across the entire city.
And Future Ties is the name of your organization that you've put together. How can we, the listeners, help? Can we help volunteer? Can we support financially? How can we help continue this program and make it grow?
Yes, so we do have a website, which is futureties.org. And on the website, you can go to Contact Us, and you can fill out a volunteer form, or you can, it's a donate button on the website as well. You can email me at jmaddox@futureties.org, and I'll respond back and find out what type of resources you want to bring over into Parkway.
Jennifer Maddox on the line with us, member of the Chicago Police Department, and she has helped launch Future Ties back in 2011. Now, CNN Heroes honors everyday people who have dedicated their lives to change the world. It's one thing to be recognized as a hero from the outside world, but you have to be so touched that your son nominated you. Usually the kids, our kids don't think we're that great.
Exactly. And he didn't tell me, and he kept it to himself for a long time. But I'm so honored, I would love just to hug my son constantly and tell him thank you because, he didn't have to write that letter, but he would help me. Him and some of his friends would come over to Parkway and help us, especially with activities like football because he's a football coach for elementary school kids, and he wanted to just help out. He said, hey, Ma, what can we do, you know, for me to assist? And I guess he saw that maybe I can do something extra by writing this letter so other people can understand and recognize what you're doing.
That's fantastic. We know you're in New York now, right, to tape the special for CNN, this hero special?
So I'm not there yet.
Oh,
I'll go in December.
Oh, okay.
Yet.
It airs December 17th, and we can vote for you, right? How do we do that?
Yes, so supporters can vote daily at CNNHeroes.com by logging in via email or Facebook, as well as on Facebook Messenger by voting to CNN Heroes Facebook page. So viewers can vote up to 10 times a day per each method, which is a total of 30 times a day.
Just like a real election. We live in Chicago. We know what it's like.
Oh, no.
It's...
Yes, but all the support, the love that I've been receiving so far across the city of Chicago has just been so, oh, great. Just, it's beautiful that the
you deserve
city is
it.
Actually coming together to support, because we really need to support our young people. Our young people are our future. That's where the name Future Ties come from. I know I can't do this alone, but we work with the future, and the ties across the communities make this possible for our young people to be successful.
Now, you mentioned you think that some of the kids sometimes cause trouble because there was nothing else to do. There was some boredom. So is this a chance for them to come all together and realize that a community makes a difference as well? Doesn't that help as well as alleviating boredom?
It does. And the teenagers, they're all in. You know, we're trying to expand. We want to get a teen center up and rolling for them. There's property located on King Drive that, you know, we would hope that maybe someone could help us with or donate so that we can give them a space of their own, because that's what they're looking for. They're looking for opportunities. They're looking for, you know, a way to make a change themselves. And they did a film over the summer in our mentoring program stating that, saying that, hey, we are some good kids over here, and give us an opportunity to show you, because we want to make that change, not only within Parkway, but across the city.
Jennifer, you good on time? Can we take a quick break? Because there's a couple questions. I want to know what it's like to be an officer, police officer in Chicago right now. We've got kind of a bad reputation nationwide. I want to know if it's as bad as our reputation. Can you hang on for a minute or two?
Sure.
All right. We've got Jennifer Maddox, a true American hero, member of the Chicago Police Department. Her company, again, what she's working on, Future Ties. The website is futureties.org, right there on your computer. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. You raise me up so I can Groban alert, Wendy. Groban alert. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN, along with Jennifer Maddox, a Chicago police officer who could be our nation's number one hero. She's already made the top 10. CNN does a big special every year naming the top heroes, and Jennifer is on that list. So, Jennifer, as you know, we have this reputation now in Chicago. It's a dangerous city. There's guns everywhere. There's drugs everywhere. You're a police officer. You're on these streets every day. Is it as bad as we hear?
You know, what I can say is everybody needs to do their part. No matter what community that you work in, no matter what community that you live in, this is an all-in effort to support the city in its entirety, to make sure that we are doing everything that we need to do to support each other.
Are you scared every day?
Well, I mean, I think we all are scared every day. It's scary.
I'm scared for you if you're not. I mean, really, it's just such a different time now.
Yes. I mean, what type of person would you be if you're not scared? You want to come home just like the regular everyday people want to come home, you know. So the job, we do this job because it's a job that we love. It's a noble job. It's something that we want to do. We risk our lives every day to service the people of Chicago. And this is what we said we signed up to do. And we do it.
Not only are you a hero just by being a Chicago police officer for all these years, but Future Ties is what you launched. And it's basically giving young residents a purpose. I mean, I keep thinking you have a kid who's a troublemaker and all they hear is, what did you do now? Everybody needs some positivity and some way to do a good job and to get praised for what they've done.
Correct. That is so true.
Jennifer, talk about, though, the success stories, because you see these kids that are in such dire straits, and through what you're doing, they have a new path. They have a new direction. That must be very rewarding for you, huh?
Very rewarding. We had two of our young people this summer go off to college, and they are doing extremely well. And we've had anonymous donors that have donated items to them so that they could be successful in college. And I talk to them on a regular basis, and they are just doing great. They're doing really well. We have seniors in high school that are looking to graduate and move on to go to college. And then our grammar school kids, they're getting excellent grades in school. And we're just moving forward with what we need to do to support our young people.
Any thoughts or visions of future ties expanding to different areas of Chicago and maybe nationally?
We would love to expand, but we need to make sure that before we go that broad, we make sure that we are focusing and taking care of the needs of where we are right now. That's why we have a long way to go. We need funding. We need space. We need, you know, the capacity to actually service, because there are 1,200 young people that live in Parkway Gardens.
Man.
Big number. Did you always want to be a police officer, or did you see something else when you were a kid?
Actually, I wanted to be an actress.
Did you really? Yeah.
I did, because I was a General Hospital fan. I was a.
Did you watch All My Children? Yes.
Fan.
Mention that to Kelly Ripa. I know she's hosting this special, so you got to tell Kelly Ripa that you used to enjoy her on All My Children.
Oh yes, for sure. One Life to Live, you name it. I used to watch them, and I was like, I'm going to be an actress.
So what happened? How did you switch course and become a police officer? What's the backstory?
Well, my mother quickly said, no.
That's more dangerous.
No. She said, you need to make a living, and that you'll be a starving actress for a while, and we got to eat, so you got to take care of your family, so you need to go to school, get your education. And then I went into criminal justice, because then I was going to pursue the career of being a lawyer. And when I was given the opportunity to take the police test, I felt that that was a way to actually start my service for the community.
I am always respectful to police officers every single time, and I like to err on the side of the police officer all the time. Is there a certain way we're supposed to act? Like, say you get pulled over, I am not defensive. I'm like, what? I usually self-incriminate myself for something I've not even done. Is there a certain something you'd like to say to people out there if a police officer pulls you over or asks you a question? Isn't the top of it to be respectful?
Yes, that's on both ends. Respect.
Correct.
It's huge on both ends. Yes, ma'am.
All right. You are certainly a hero in our eyes. And ABC's Kelly Ripa will join Anderson Cooper. They're going to co-host the star-studded 11th annual show. It will be on CNN airing December 17th. CNN Heroes, an all-star tribute. You can vote for Jennifer Maddox by going to CNNHeroes.com. You have to log in via email or Facebook, and you can vote up to 10 times a day. And we certainly hope you win, Jennifer. It was really a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate you. Love
Absolutely.
You guys.
Oh, thank you so much. It's
Love
Jennifer
right
Maddox.
Back.
Officer Jennifer Maddox. Again, futureties.org is the website. Visit it and do what you can. Contribute in any way that you can. We'll take a quick break, and then Steve Bertrand comes by. Wendy and I are headed toward the stream. We would love to have you join us there for the bonus hour, but if you want to stay here, that's fine too. Steve will give you what's coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Say, we're on time today.
How about that?
I don't know how that happened.
Wow. Steve, by law, Wendy and I can't broadcast anymore on regular radio, but we will be on the stream.
Nice.
So that happens the bonus hour, or stay here for you. What do you have?
Okay, so if you know where my neighborhood is and you go on the Google camera, the street view, mm-hmm. you can see my wife Sharon walking down the street.
No.
What?
Yeah.
Well, that's not right.
Well, just, you know, you wouldn't know it unless you knew Sharon, but she got caught in the Google camera.
Really?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's excellent.
Oh, my God. I'm
going
to look for
her. The Faroe Islands, you know, there are not a lot of people live there. There are more sheep than people.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to get a Google Street View, too. And they, you know, Google wasn't paying attention. So they put the 360-degree cameras on several sheep and sent them out. And then, isn't that funny?
Yeah.
And then sent it to Google to be included. And now they're on Street View.
Oh.
That's so cute.